Chapter 57. Lyria. Lamps in the Storm. The ship shudders from turbulence as we descend on Europa. My mag boots clunk as I go into the Archimedes' tiny brig. The Obsidian sits up behind the duroglass. He is Darrow's height, but a little more slender. He looks confused as I squat on the floor. The swaying of the ship makes my head ache. "I have questions," I say in Nagal.
"Who are you? How do you speak our language?" he asks.
"You're the one in the cell," I reply. "I ask the questions."
"You are the one who hacked the door and turned the camera off," he says, nodding to the camera above. "Darrow does not know you are here, so let us be polite. I am Sigurd, son of Skard, of the tribe of the Valgafjörgen."
"This name ring a bell?" he snorts. I pull the sidearm I filched from the armory and set it on my knee. "Does her name ring a bell?"
He chuckles.
"What's so funny?"
"You are saying, does this name ring my balls?"
"Oh,
it is not your fault. We have many words for snow, ice, death, and especially balls. I can speak in common very well, if you prefer," he replies in common. "You do not need that gun. I am a friend of Red."
I narrow my eyes.
"You do not believe me. That is all right. I am in a cell."
"Valgafjörgen," I say.
"Yes, I know the name. There are not many women Obsidian amongst us. Part of the stupidity that brought us out here was blaming them for our years of slavery. They sold us their boys, it is true, but it was an impossible choice. Sell us or all their children die, boys and girls. Gold is good at shifting blame. But it is Volaris, not Fjörgen."
"What else?" I ask.
"I do not know. I am fifth band."
He shows five torques made of iron on his wrist.
"Not first band. My father complains too much to be close to Fa's favor. But warriors love gossip. I know she is the Fa's granddaughter, but Fa calls her daughter. She follows him like a shadow."
"She's not imprisoned?" I ask. He frowns.
"Not that I know. She was given a command for Callisto. This much I've heard."
"A command?"
"Yeah, soldiers of her own, to make this a kingdom for the Volk. A good little soldier."
I shake my head. "That's not true. She'd never help with this."
He shrugs. "If you call me a liar, we will have to fight."
He waits, and I don't.
"There is gossip, too, that she was an unnatural birth, a freak from a Grimm's tube, and..."
"She's not a freak," I snap.
He smiles, a little sad. "We are all freaks," he says, and shows his sigils. "They made us so."
When it's clear Sigurd knows nothing else of Olga, I seal the brig behind me and sway back to the cargo bay. We're low now, close to the sea. Out the viewport, three cities bob to the west like lonely lamps, and like lamps, they wait to be blown out. An obsidian wind is coming, and according to what I heard Chian the Black Owl say to her troops, there will be nothing the golds of Europa can do to stop it. Io is done. Callisto blooms with atomic mushrooms. Ganymede hides behind its orbital shields. Europa's ships were spent over Io trying to protect the Garter and their liege lords, the Ra. The floating island cities of the Sea Moon lie vulnerable. Their people wait for doom. Athena does not. She and her daughters are safe beneath the sea.
Supposedly.
I pass Ori as she explains the refuge that awaits us to the Pink Children. They gathered around her as we travelled from Io to Europa. She warms their hearts with tales of Athena's goodness and charity and promises no army can penetrate the deep. "The deep is a collection of cities beneath the seas of Europa, which are the deepest on all the worlds," she says. "These cities were carved into the solid core of the moon itself. The place began as a mining operation, you see, and like all things, it evolved. It became a place for industry, research, and, yes, weapons manufacturing. But Athena has taken all 6 cities of the deep. If she did that, it means she has an army that will protect us all, and weapons too. We will be safe down there, even if the obsidians huff and puff on the surface. The pink children smile at Ori's claim. One, a boy no older than 11, with hair like a sunset, sets his small palm in my hand. You'll be safe too, he says. You don't have to look so sad. I kiss his hand and leave him to story time. I wish I was that young again. Nothing feels safe anymore. Not even my memories. Not even my friends. Could Volga really be a war commander of Faz? I head for a viewport to watch the waves. The hold is dim and echoes with the sound of the rain and the roar of the ocean. Weapons crates creak against their fastenings. Most of the Black Elves, those who ain't crammed in the medbay pumped full of painkillers, snore right through it all. They are scary, and I'm proud of how scary Reds can be, but at the same time, I saw what the Obsidians did to them. Tore them apart like paper dolls when they got a hold of them. If I didn't show up with the Archie, it would have gone bad, fast-like. That's what Cassia said after we'd gotten off the moon. He kissed me on the head, and we toasted with Severo's moonshine. Still, I feel like an idiot. Chion could pound me to paste, an Obsidian could pound Chion to paste, and here I was thinking I'd go amongst them and have a chance at rescuing Volga. Bloody idiot is what I am. Doesn't sound like Volga much wants to be rescued. I scratched the surgery scars on my head. They're covered now with an inch of curly hair. The Archimedes shakes with turbulence. If it weren't for the mag boot sealing me to the deck, I'd be on my ass. Cassius's voice comes from the wall speakers, admonishing anyone not in a crash seat. But I'll be damned if I strap in like the rest. Lyria, come back and join us, Ori calls. I wave her off. She may be happy to play the matron, but that boy's palm in my hand made me think of Liam. How many little boys like Liam did Volga kill on Callisto? I try not to imagine. I try only to see what's out the viewport. I have to remember the sights so I can tell my little nephew what Europa looked like when we're together again on Mars. Not that I can see much of the cities or Europa. Beyond the viewport, Europa hides behind a shroud of rain and fog. Whips of green lightning flay the sky. Waves wander in the gloom like tired miners coming home from shift. I miss waiting at the top of the tunnel for my dad to come home. I miss my ma, my sister, the most. I think of my brothers lost at war. I shouldn't be here. I press my nose to the window. The water seems to grow closer. The sea itself rises up toward us. No, something in the sea is rising. My heart beats faster. A massive fin breaks the waterline, followed by an oil-black bulk with pale pink stripes surging up, up, up with horrible massiveness. And then it sinks down, down, down into the churning dark. I'm left in awe. And here I thought the volcanoes in Io were the most manic thing I'd seen in the rim. I know magic isn't real. I know it's all science. But if I don't know the science, it might as well be magic. Far as I know, whatever flitted up from the black depths was here long before Europa's Eye Slayer was terraformed into the Discordia Sea. I shiver a little. Ragnar always wanted to ride one of those. I turn. Severo staring at me from a pace away. How did he sneak up on me? I check his feet, presuming he'll have on mag boots to steady himself. Of course not. The man's feet are bare, the long toenails curled into the great floor. He sways with a jar of sunflower butter in his hand, a bottle of syrup in his back pocket, and a knife in his mouth. Sun butter. He offers the knife laden with thick brown goo. Not hungry.
Talking to an obsidian will do that, he says.
Course he knows. He's always lurking. I search the water. What was that?
Leviathan,
Biggest carveling this side of Titan, he says.
There's bigger things?
Always. You see any gold stripes on its top fin?
I shake my head. He looks disappointed.
Why? Leviathans are the sigil beasts of Gens Calibur, the ruling house of Europa. Kyaxares is their pride and joy. 300-year-old bull. Twice as big as any other. That one down there was probably middling size. Always wanted to see Kyaxares.
And the Calibur, they ride those things? I ask.
He nods. With pressurized suits, you can take them a couple dozen clicks down. Not the healthiest hobby, or kindliest mount. Leviathans ain't loyal creatures. Sometimes they eat their owners. Hungry bastards. Each with five stomachs to fill. I'd prefer a sundrake or a white griffin, me.
He pauses.
Or a unicorn. What would you ride?
I consider his strange question. Not a leviathan. A Pegasus, maybe. Something nice.
Have you met a Pegasus?
Well, no.
But me brothers grew up pretending they were in Pegasus legions.
They ain't nice, Pegasus. Carthii breed carnivorous ones, too.
Is anything nice? I mutter. He stares at me, taking the question too philosophically. Why are you talking to me?
Why wouldn't I?
You never talk to me, as a rule.
My rule is I don't talk to dead weight.
I would smile if I hadn't just learned that Volga might now be a bloodthirsty warlord. What would Ephraim say to that?
You're a real bastard, I say.
You know that, right? Leaving Darrow and Cassius hanging out to dry. They went off mission. I saved their asses in the end.
I glance at the pink children.
Yeah? Well, I have a new rule. I don't talk to bastards.
I turn back to the window. He doesn't say anything for several minutes, but he stays there behind me, chewing the inside of his cheek, riding some really mad turbulence without so much as stumbling.
I want to know something, he says.
I don't answer him, but he's going to ask me whether I let him or not.
You helped kidnap my kid. Unknowingly, so you say. But you were a party to it just the same, he says slowly.
I say, and I felt bad about it, so I risked my neck to get them back.
Earning the trust of Virginia and Vic, apparently. Enough that you were witness to the birth of... You were there for... My...
He cannot say the words, but I know now what he's asking about. The ship rocks. My knuckles are white from clutching the handholds near the viewport, and my heart starts to turn black the longer I hold on to the thrill of my anger at him. I relent, and it feels good.
You want it straight? I helped her deliver Ulysses, I say. I heard her first words to him. Volga was there too, guarding the door while it happened. Later, I pulled him from the tree where they killed him. I tried burying him in the ground. I didn't know what else to do. I think Victra wanted me there when he was buried proper, because she knew I would rather have been the one in the ground. I'd have traded spots with him.
Why?
I go quiet before finding the words.
He was a baby. He didn't do anything. I've done stuff. I'm not all nice.
I think of my sister's children.
It wasn't right is all. And this Volga character?
I wipe tears from my eyes.
Shit, Volga would have eaten her own gun if it put that baby back in Victor's arms. I swear it.
That's what I don't get. She's a sweetheart.
I know she's done stuff. I mean, she was pulling heists with Ephraim before I ran into them. Who knows the kind of stuff she did? But I thought she was good. Maybe I needed her to be. When she gave herself up to Fa, even after he killed Ephraim and he was like a father to her, I told him myself she was sacrificing herself so he'd leave Mars alone.
So people wouldn't get hurt. To hear that she's marching with Fa, I can't believe it.
But you do.
What do you mean?
You didn't call Sigurd a liar.
I stare at him.
You know why? Because you know that people can and will disappoint you.
Even this friend of yours is going to let you down.
Is that why you won't take up your dad's helmet? I ask.
The hell do you know about that?
He mutters.
I shrug. Cassius, that chatty little shit.
Ain't a rat. Can't reveal my source, I say.
But you ask me. I think it's because you think you're going to let everyone down.
Nah, he says, and looks away.
Ain't it?
Then what? He doesn't answer for a long time.
It's just, everyone wants me to wear my dad's helmet. Since I can remember, like I'm fated. Can't escape it.
You wore it before, though, I say. For a little while. Everyone knows that.
And it ate me up, he mutters.
Why?
He chews his cheekbone some more. Lightning bathes his face green.
Dad didn't want to be Ares. He told me that. One of the last times I saw him before he died.
He hated it. I know what he meant. The golds made it. He and Mum made me. It was his prison. See?
I wonder about that as the sea bucks outside.
My dad was a rat, I say toward the viewport. He informed on people in our mine. I used to think he was perfect because he was my dad. Then I hated him. Then I realized he did it for us. Now when I think of him, I think he was just a person doing his best in the world he was in. I can't judge him for that. I can't say I'm better or worse, but it makes me sad. He accepted his prison. He never even tried the bars.
That helm. For Da, maybe he hated it. But maybe it wasn't his prison. Maybe it was his key to get out.
I turn and look at him. His eyes peer out the window, and I wonder if he was even listening, especially when he turns and walks away.
Is this the last time we talk? I call after him. Only if you become useless again,